Blog Talk Radio.
I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty, in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro has still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. And so we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summit of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until that is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hoped that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content will have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. There will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But that is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We must fail to conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protests to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. The marvelous new militancy which has engulfed the Negro community must not lead us to a distrust of all white people. For many of our white brothers, as evidenced by their presence here today, have come to realize that their destiny is bound to our freedom. We cannot walk alone. As we walk, we must make the pledge that we shall always march ahead. We cannot turn back. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied. As long as our body is heavy with the fatigue of travel, cannot gain lodging in the motels of the highways and the hotels of the city. We cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, we are not satisfied and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I am not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities, knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. Yeah. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
And the great, great Dr. King, and the words that everybody should be living. You know, a clear message for all of those who hate and claim that they follow Dr. King. I mean, all this turmoil that we've seen lately in the nation, if people would follow Dr. King and his words and live those words, you wouldn't have this turmoil. You'd have brotherhood and people loving one another and caring about one another. I never knew Martin, but I knew one of his lieutenants. I always wanted to meet Ralph Abernathy. I never got a chance, but Wyatt T. Walker was one of his great lieutenants, followers, protege. And years ago, 1972 it was, that we I was working with a group in New York City to find jobs for blind people. And Dr. Walker was on the board of directors of this program that I was the assistant to. And you could feel the spirit of Martin Luther King when you were in Dr. Walker's, Wyatt's presence. You know, that type of love, that spirit that Dr. King projected and lived. And that's the kind of a person that Wyatt was. He's a very caring and giving individual. I went up to his office one day to pick up a donation for our group, you know. Beautiful guy. I'll never forget him, and very gracious. But there's the example for everybody. The peace and the way he went about it, you know, he didn't believe in violence. Just a beautiful, peaceful way. And he inculcated that. Others, he put it in them by his very spirit of being a peaceful human being, and of course a great speaker. But here is the situation, you know. I always wished that Dr. King would have carried out his campaign further, include the disabled. Of course, many minorities were disabled, but the issues that he was addressing was quite different. So he didn't really bring them to the forefront. But nevertheless, he taught people that they should love. It should be a brotherhood and a caring, and not judge people by the color of their skin. I'd like to see these minority leaders and these minority groups step up and take Dr. King's lesson a little further and start to help us change a system that is very oppressive to the disabled. Because there are many, many thousands, maybe millions of minority people who are disabled. And these minority groups, although they claim to follow Dr. King, haven't really done anything to liberate those who are disabled of a minority. So we'd hope that that will change. Inner Sight has done a lot on this program. We have over 100,000 listeners, and we certainly believe in Dr. King. As a matter of fact, we believe that his spirit is with us, undoubtedly, because of the way that we try to carry on our work, peaceful and helpful. We want to help liberate millions of people who are burdened down with taxes and a system that doesn't allow us to be ourselves. And that's where these minority groups can come in. You know, if they would expand their program to include and to help people who are discriminated against, who are minorities, and I use that word, but many times it's not considered discrimination. You know, a person who happens to be black, denied a guide dog, you should be able to go to the organizations that fight for the rights of black people, and they should do something about it. Stand up. You know, come out with a public statement. Help license the schools that train dogs for the blind. Join us. People in nursing homes. Millions of minorities. The agencies that are supposed to help the minorities, I don't see them doing anything to get people out of the nursing homes. We have a program that we want to start called Volunteer Plus, where the caregivers on their day off would volunteer to help people who need extra hours, and we would compensate them by paying their phone bill, car insurance, whatever, in accordance with how many hours they donate. Now, if the minority groups, you know, they raise a lot of money, would help us start this fund, and it could go for minority people in nursing homes, that would help tremendously. I think they should be very concerned in a nursing home, because they don't belong there. People belong in their own home. It's a lot safer, cleaner, better food. And if we could get this fund established, we would have the money. The state wouldn't have to reject a person because they didn't want to pay the extra See, they have a rule right now. If you can't, if you need 24/7 care, they want to put you in a nursing home. That's why a lot of people wind up in those places. So the minority groups that follow Dr. King need to expand their ideas, even if necessary, amend their bylaws or whatever it is, to do more for those minorities who are disabled. I remember some years ago when Corey Foster was killed. You may recall the kid with the on the basketball court. And I went to Reverend Al Sharp, then I called him. Tried to get him to stand up for the family and demanded an investigation and what have you. And he wouldn't do a thing about it. They never even called me back, in fact. So here you have the situation. You talk about hatred. What do you do when black people hate other black people? You know, and either organizations need to do something about that. It's your own people hating your own. So let's follow Martin. You know, we think about him one day out of the year. We need to do it every day. As a matter of fact, part of the InnerSight legacy, the way we set it up, is based on what Martin believed and how he lived and, you know, the demonstrations and everything that he went through and all the violence. There's a lot of hatred against the disabled. A lot of that hatred comes from the agencies. That's never been investigated. How many people run these agencies are haters of the disabled? That's why you need to change the system. We need enforcement of the law. We need to protect people. I mean, there are so many examples of that. You've heard, if you listen to this show, you know that that we have been trying to change it and reaching out to these politicians and giving them ways how they can spend less money and change the system. Thank you so much. This has been our Martin Luther King Night InnerSight. I'm Frank Perino, the executive director. 312-243-0090 is our phone number. We'll be with you tomorrow night on a regular program tomorrow night on InnerSight Open Mic. I want to thank all our listeners. I want to thank Suzanne, co-host, who's not with us tonight, but she engineered the whole thing, and Martin's speech. All right, InnerSight means freedom. Advocates for the disabled will be with you tomorrow night. And thank everybody who helps to keep this program alive, because a lot of people need it. Tomorrow night, open mic, 8 to 9. Be with us. Thank you very much. InnerSight, InnerSight. We all need more. Goodbye, world. Give me more InnerSight. Good night, everybody. Thank you. InnerSight.